All right, here we are. It's the Night Party Roundtable discussion. Rachel didn't show up today.
Thanks for all here.
Yeah, they do want to know. And like I was saying, Rachel, this is Thomas Robb. Yeah, Rachel's not here. She's babysitting with all her grandkids, and she wanted to just have time to play with them this morning. And
we got special guests here today.
We do have a special guest.
We have Caleb, who is my eldest son. He is 10 years old. Say hi, Caleb.
Hi.
Guess it loud.
Hi.
There you go.
Hi.
And then we have Tayton, who is 7 years old.
Oh, almost eight.
Almost eight. Can you say hi?
Hi.
Hi.
That's pretty good.
So, anyway, so they're slept over, or not slept over, they spent the night at Grandma Grandpa's house a couple days ago. And now they decided to come over here with me when we were doing our show. And so they're going to be here for a few minutes, not for the whole time.
They're going to listen.
Listen.
They might have something wise to say.
They usually do.
They're pretty smart little guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Caleb and, of course, Tayton, too, are getting really good when we watch TV to spot race mixing couples and stuff like that. They're getting really good at that.
Yeah.
Which is always good because that's something that they seem to be learning. And or when we're walking around town and stuff like that, you know, they spot one, you know, they'll say something.
Yeah. And so often TV done so quickly.
Right.
It's just like a flash, you know, across the screen. You almost don't even realize it happened.
Exactly.
But it's still, the eye still sees it. There's a lot of power that comes through the eyes into the mind that some of the messages that people don't even think about.
Yeah.
And same with the sodomy.
Right.
They interject those things into
programs
too. And I know yesterday they were over for a little bit. And so we turned the TV on for a few minutes. And whenever they have TV on, I usually try to sit with them. Because it's important to help, they got to learn to spot that propaganda. And so, you know, it's good to have an adult sit with children to watch cartoons, watch programming, so you can help point out the propaganda so they begin having an eye for it. And there was one show on, and some guy came out there, and he was like a dancer. And
was this last night?
Yeah.
Oh.
He was like a dancer. And
is that what you were about to say, Caleb? Okay, go ahead.
It was on Teen Titans Go.
Yeah, and he was like a dancer, but he was like a flamboyant gay guy. I mean, he just dressed in like, I thought it was maybe a girl at first.
Right.
But then he made some remarks about him being a guy. Yeah. And but he was just, the talking and so forth. And it was like, he was like the bad person in the little scenario of Teen Titans. He was like the bad person, and he's trying to get the good Titans to be his backup dancers. And then, but he was just almost like a flamboyant transvestite or something like that. And so I can see kids watching that because he didn't come across as necessarily being an evil person.
Just, well, they put it out there just very slightly subliminal, just kind of so you're making fun of it, you know, and like, oh, that's funny, you know. And in some ways, it is funny, but that's the whole reason they put it in there, because then you start laughing, accept it, and it's nothing out of really weird, you know, but it's just kind of funny, and it desensitizes you.
Right.
You know. Now, Caleb, you wanted to say something. Do you remember?
Yes.
Okay.
It's from something here.
You got to speak up louder.
It's, well, clearly, almost like all the white people, not all the white people, but some of the white people are going to vote for Trump.
Yes.
But the other white people, the Asians, the blacks, the Mexicans, and the Chinese are going to vote for Hillary. Because Hillary is a bad person. Trump is good.
Yeah.
So they're going to try vote for Hillary, and they're going to listen to what Hillary says. And the white people are going to listen to what Trump says. So that's why everybody's, like killing people taking money. They're in jail.
And we talk about stuff like that. Is if you remember, Caleb, we talk about how most of the white people are actually voting for Donald Trump because he's in favor of the policies that we like, you know, for closing our borders, you know, the Second Amendment, and how Hillary Clinton, the vast majority of all your non-whites are wanting Hillary Clinton to be president. And because
all the whites want Donald Trump to be president, and slightly Hillary might win or Donald Trump might win.
Right.
And Hillary might really be mean to Donald Trump because Donald Trump wins, Hillary's probably going to do something to Donald Trump.
You never know.
No, I mean, it's getting crazy out there. It's the violence is directed towards Trump supporters.
Right.
Yeah, everything from simple stuff like tearing down yard signs to actual rocks being thrown through car windows.
Yeah, and you got protesters going actually to Donald Trump's rallies and pepper spraying people. And,
yeah.
So that is very, very violent.
So they could certainly increase if Trump gets elected, you know, because I hear sometimes that people talk about, say, well, look at all the, like, these emails on Hillary Clinton, and they'll say, that should wake people up. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, you moron. They don't care about that.
Right.
They're fighting a war.
Yeah, it's an agenda.
Yeah, and if you're fighting a war, you don't care.
Right.
You know, if we're fighting a war, if you're in a battle, somebody breaks into your home, and somebody says, well, that wasn't nice what you did to those people that tried to kidnap you or break into your house. You don't care.
Exactly.
You're trying to win the battle.
And, yeah, I mean, it's not like Hillary supporters or like even this FBI investigation that they've opened up. It's not like that the Hillary supporters are all automatically going to go, what? They're investigating her? I don't know if I should vote for her or not.
Yeah.
They don't care.
They don't care.
It's an agenda.
They want to win the battle.
Right.
They won the war. They don't care what Hillary did. More power to her.
Yeah.
If she can get away with anything to advance their cause, which is an anti-white agenda, hatred for our Christian civilization.
And Caleb and Tate and I will talk about how Hillary Clinton is, you know, wanting to continue on with abortion, you know, where they kill babies, you know, and how Donald Trump, you know, he doesn't want that, you know, and he wants to stop policies and agendas where people are having abortion, you know, women are having abortion, stuff like that. And so we talk about that too, how there is a very much of a difference between what Donald Trump's agenda is and what Hillary Clinton's agenda is. And so so Caleb's been doing a really good job, you know, learning about that.
Yeah, but
and Caleb, before you get to that, you were also talking about, or maybe it was Tayton, about some kids at school as well, talking about Donald Trump and Hillary. Do you remember that?
They did a vote or something, a class vote, I think.
Did they have like a class vote on who was going to be president?
Yeah.
Okay, do you remember that?
Alex was going to.
Okay, Alex.
He's just a kid at school.
Yeah,
we don't care about him.
Yeah, we were talking about who was going to become president. Did you and kids at your school talk about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, or was that with you, Tayton? Okay, do you remember that? You were telling me about that.
Who won? Trump or Hillary?
What?
Trump won.
Yeah.
By a lot or a little bit?
By a little bit, yeah. Well, it probably will be by a little bit if he wins or he loses because, you know, the population really is almost to the point of America being a non-white nation. Okay. And so it really depends. I mean, I really think it's going to be a close call one way or another. Because it really is a race war.
But still, the majority of voters are white.
Right.
And that's where the advantage comes.
Exactly.
Even though we're non-white as far as actual people living here, in 2017, we've become an absolute minority, according to Joe Biden. Still, the majority of people who are actually voters, registered to vote, are still white. And so, it could be a landslide for Trump.
It could be a landslide.
But the thing is, unless he actually... carries out his programs.
Right.
In 4 years or 8 years from now, with all these little muchachos running around here,
yeah,
we're going to be at that voting age in 4 years, certainly in 8 years from now. You know, you 10-year-old kids running around here, you know, they're going to be voting.
Yeah, 8 years.
And then somebody runs around here that's 16 now, they're going to be having babies,
right?
You know, and they're coming up to vote in a few years after that. So the population is definitely on the decline for white people, unless Donald Trump turns around. I mean, there's several scenarios. I mean, a collapse of our national economy could force a resurgence of white identity. The migration of white people to the heartland could force a resistance to the federal government. We saw the resistance to the federal government with the release of those Bundys in Oregon, I think it was. Who I think the federal government was totally shocked on that one.
Yeah.
And these guys were all found not guilty. There is a resurgence and a growing white identity. And that is certainly something to be look forward to.
Yes. Well, I have two. Okay.
Two things. Okay.
Okay. What was the first thing?
Last night, me, Grandpa, and Tayton, we were watching the news, and we heard Grandpa said to me and Tayton, he heard on the news, he said that this girl, she was having a baby. It was a girl. The baby was a girl. It was beautiful and stuff. But she said that when it gets out, she wants to kill it.
Mm-hmm. Have an abortion.
She was having an abortion. Yeah. And Hillary Clinton, you know, is in favor of abortion.
Can you imagine somebody killing your little sister before she was born?
It amazes me when she gets up there and says that I've always fought for children all my life.
Yeah, they must kill
babies. And wants to kill the babies. I'm like, what? I mean, that don't really make sense.
Yeah.
You know? Especially when they talk about favor of abortion in the third trimester, you know. Of course, we believe that life begins at, you know, conception. But if you even want to use their sick liberal thinking, you know, when they say the third trimester, when it is proven that the babies are basically fully developed, you know, they can cry, they can scream, they can live outside the womb, all of that, and they still want to kill them, still think it's okay.
Up to almost the day of delivery. Till
the day of delivery. And then say, well, I've always fought for children's rights.
Yeah.
It don't really make sense.
Yeah.
You know,
but to the liberal agenda, they don't care.
They don't care. They don't care. And so what was the second one, Kev?
Well, when my friends heard this on the news, it was long time ago, it was Craig, and he said on the news that this black girl, she had a son, and the son and that girl was all black.
Right. Okay.
And the son really loved her really much. Not a family member.
Right.
Really, like, loving.
Oh.
About to marry her.
Oh.
And he said that, can I marry you? And they got married together, the 6-year boy
boy and the mom wanted to get married. Yeah, that's another sick thing when you have family members who's wanting to marry each other. And what's really gross about that, Caleb, is once you start having a breakdown of our moral society with race mixing, now that's allowed, and then homosexuality, where men can marry men and women can marry women, now that is allowed. That is just a continuation of a breakdown of our Christian society and our morals, because now they're saying adults should be able to marry children, that mothers can marry their children, that they can
marry animals.
And so our whole Christian moral society breaks down once we stop following Jesus Christ and follows his rules. And that's what we see now. So, yeah, that's what your friend was talking about. You know, do what? No, you can't go. So we're right in the middle of talking. Okay, thank you for interrupting us. So But that was awful nice of you. Very nice, nice. Thank you. But that's right, Caleb. It's really sad when you see that. You know, even when you have, you know, a black boy wanting to marry their black mom. You know, when you have no longer a Christian moral society, then you see all this perverse degenerates going on. And so, yeah, it's really, that's pretty sick, isn't it?
Well, then you got boys who think they're girls.
Right. Exactly.
You know, yeah. I'm a boy. I'm a boy because I go to the boys' bathroom, but I think I want to be a girl.
Yeah.
You know, so then I start going to the girl bathrooms.
Yeah.
So
it's really sick. So there's a lot of evil people out there, and we always got to be on guard.
Yep.
And always got to make sure that we're always following Jesus and following the Bible.
Yeah.
And so.
And that's why it's good that you listen to the news some with your dad and with your grandpa or whatever. You learn about those things and you discuss them.
You know, there's a second.
Okay.
One of second graders, remember that guy? He has the long hair.
Right.
Those two little kid, that little kid has those long hair, and
yeah.
They're like rat kids and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and you know their dad.
Right.
Well, that little boy, he has the long hair.
Right.
He goes in the girl's bathroom. He has long hair. He thinks he's a girl, but he's not. I think they vote for Hillary.
Yeah. Well, there are, and I think the two kids you're talking about, I kind of know who you're talking about. They just have long hair, but I don't think if that's the case. I think that he just likes to get himself in trouble, you know? But yes, you do have that because you can have kids growing up and you can have sometimes teachers or counselors telling kids, oh, you may think that you're a girl, you know, and identify yourself with a girl. And so that can happen, you know. And so that's why there's a lot of evil things out there. And those are, there's people out there that we always have to make sure that we, as white Christians, are always making sure that we're standing up for right, what's right, you know, and that's very, very important that we do that, you know, and so there, that's why we always talk about these different things that are going on in the world, and that's why we continually believe in Jesus and talk about putting the whole armor of God, the whole armor of God on us, then we will be able to stand faithfully. When we are facing issues such as that, you know, with people saying, oh, you're a racist because you love your white people, or you're a racist because you believe in a man marrying a woman, or you're a racist because you want to live in a Christian country. So we always got to do
no matter what it is, you're a racist.
Right. You're racist for whatever, you know. So we always have to remember that we're always standing up for what's right, you know. And so there's a lot of evil people out there, and we just got to know that God is behind us on everything we do.
And speaking about everything being racist, of course, we got Halloween coming up.
Halloween.
And people be dressed in various costumes.
What are you going to dress up as, Satan?
Vampire.
See, that is insensitive.
Yes.
To vampires.
Poor vampires.
I tell you, blood-sucking vampires, they got to eat too.
They just want to get along.
Yeah. So that's not being very sensitive, Peyton. You have to show more compassion about the vampires.
What about you, Caleb? What are you going to be? Ash.
Who's that?
Pokemon.
I'll have the hat. I'll have the black things. I'll have the shirt. I'll have the pants. Sure. I'll have the shoes. I'll have the backpack. And I think I will get three.
No Pokeballs. No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, Ash is a character on Pokemon. Okay. So I don't know that. I'm sure that could be a racist somehow.
I'm sure
it is. You know.
Well, aren't you? Isn't Pokemon like an Asian or something like that?
It's a from a Japanese cartoon.
That's in taking Asian stereotype.
Yes, yeah, stereotype that they're all to yourself. Yeah, they're smart kids. Yeah. How dare them being smart kids?
You know, and of course, you know, Cook's skirts are racist because right. that gives credence to the antebellum period. Cook's skirts are racist, and cowboy, you know, hats and they're racist.
You know, you're being a racist, Hayden, by wearing a cowboy hat.
Yeah, and Indian costumes is racist. And they don't want anything. One university, Tufts University, has even put out a memo to all the student body that if they see something that is racist in their in some of their Greek parties right. and so forth, that there's a couple of things. One is they have a safe place for them to go to.
That's nice.
There's
safe zone.
There's counseling. You can call for counseling.
That's correct.
So if you're say you're a student there and you see somebody wearing a maybe wearing a something that looks like a
military. It could be something as simple as a Donald Trump.
Well,
dress up as a Donald Trump.
Anything that offends you, there are counseling 24/7.
That's nice.
You get counseling, and of course, then they want to rule out anything that tends to glorify, in the words they're using, violence behavior. You know, or which of course we're not for violence, but I mean it's Halloween.
Right,
you
know, so it's supposed to be scary, and yeah. you know, yeah, like so, witches or yeah. warlocks and, yeah. and so zombies.
All that stuff can cause really a mental disturbance. They need counseling.
Yeah,
there's a 24-hour hotline that we can call.
That's good.
And get immediate counseling, and they got a response team. I forget what it's called, but they do have an emergency offensive response team.
Response team.
They'll come out right Johnny on the spot to help you get through it.
Hey, that's great.
And several other universities have kind of done the same thing. University of Florida does, and have been others, you know. So because this is really a terrible thing that's happening on Halloween.
Yes.
It never used to be that way.
No.
Halloween used to be just like angels and fairies and stuff, but now they got all the horrible things, I guess, that are racist.
Yeah.
I dressed up as a cowboy when I was in a youngster at Halloween, and David Crockett and so on.
Well, talking about
what it did to me.
Exactly. Talking about Halloween, there was a video I saw on YouTube where there was a Halloween parade in Pennsylvania. And the float shows Donald Trump, you know, in the back of the truck.
Yeah.
And
I know the one.
And of course, you know, he's waving. And then right behind it, they made it as like a jail. Hillary. It shows Hillary in there, you know, and then it, of course it's going through the town. And everyone's cheering, woo, yeah. all right, that Hillary, you're locked up, you know, yeah. lock her up, you know.
Yeah.
And to me, it just sometimes it just doesn't shock me, but it does. That just shows, you know, even there are people out there that's just standing. To me, that's a bold statement.
Yeah,
I mean, it really is. That's yeah. a bold statement to make in a parade, a Halloween parade. Showing a candidate being locked up, you know, and everyone's cheering. And this is in Pennsylvania, no, up in the north.
Yeah.
But there are millions of white Christians, you know, that are fed up with the policy. So often people think, oh, it's just in the country or in the, you know, yeah. rednecks. You
white
know.
People fed up or the yeah. uneducated.
Or the uneducated. But this is in Pennsylvania. And I forgot what the town is, but the fact that then the float committee allowed it.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, it's like, that's a bold statement.
Yeah.
You
well,
know?
There are angry people in the country. There are angry people. Half the population is very angry. They said that 57% of the – are you leaving out, Caleb?
You're going to leave, Caleb?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what is it that you want everybody to do?
Remember?
Love your God.
Love your God.
Come over here and say, roll out.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell everybody what you want them to do.
Speak up.
I want all you guys to.
And gals.
And girls.
You know.
Love your God.
Yep. Love your God.
Love your people.
That's right. Okay.
Love your God and love your people.
Love Peyton. Your God and love your people.
Is that the same thing you want to tell them? He's more shocked.
Yeah.
He's just,
okay,
he's just 7 years old.
Just 7 years old. Okay, Tate.
Bye.
They're pretty good kids.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, and that, there's millions of people throughout the country. That's why Donald Trump is doing so well, and it really got the establishment off. They didn't see this coming.
Well,
and if they saw it coming, they thought they could like brush it aside.
Just say, "Oh, you're racist," and like, it'll be
good. Jeb Bush said, "You're not going to bully your way to the presidency, Donald Trump."
Right.
Yeah. Nobody's going to listen to you. You know. Right. And they were all saying that. Well, you know, Donald Trump is doing well in the early polls, but you know, let's face it, he's not going to win the nomination.
Yeah, he's not a serious candidate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, and what again, it doesn't amaze me because we've always believed. And knew that white people were getting fed up. I mean, we've always
known.
We
knew that, but we couldn't prove it to anybody.
We can't prove it because of the fact that you have this establishment, anti-white establishment, and you had this phenomenon with Donald Trump, who was echoing the same thing that we've said on. There's some issues that we differ from, but talking about our first, you know, the foreign policy issues. Securing our borders,
trade deals,
all this base America first, you know, policies that we've been saying, you know, others in the white resistance have been saying it for decades. And he's been able to say it because one, he's very wealthy, so he couldn't be really bought off. Secondly, he was such a very popular person that when he started saying that, there was automatically that immediate support.
Yeah.
And so they couldn't shut him down. And that's why when he's having these rallies, you know, in Florida and whatever, and there are thousands and thousands.
There was one rally yesterday, I think it was Jason.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Thursday. I don't know.
Right.
Friday. I don't know what day it was. Just recently, the last couple of days, in which a rally was held in Florida by Donald Trump and a rally held in Florida by Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And they're both, like, in the same location.
Yeah.
One county over, as I understand. Right. So it's drawing the same population demographics, not racial demographics, but I mean population demographics. And so it wasn't like Trump's in Florida and Hillary's in Nebraska or vice versa. They're both basically the same location. Trump had like 20,000 people. Hillary had 800, you know, and could draw from the same population. So the crowds.
Right. And the one you're talking about, I think he was even more than that because – What they don't say is they'll have these arenas, you know,
right.
And the arenas will literally fit more than 15, 20. Some of them will like 30, 40,000.
Uh-huh.
But then there's so many people that there are people then outside the arenas that can't go inside.
They put out loudspeakers.
Loudspeakers, you know. Yeah. And it was the same thing when we went, you know, to the one over, I believe it was Bentonville.
Yeah.
I'm in Arkansas. I'm here. That's
during the nomination.
During the nomination.
The primaries.
Months ago, there were so many people there that they had to shut the doors and people couldn't get in anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and this had an airport hangar and all that. And so it just shows that, there was this crowd, but then there's people outside. Yeah. And so it just shows that there is this vast, vast majority that does support Donald Trump. Support his policies because, I mean, realistically, it is a race war. And we've always been saying it's a race war. It's a race war in the voting booth.
Yeah.
And it's now is flowing out from now you're seeing the race war where non-whites are actively going to these rallies, the Donald Trump rallies. Mm-hmm. They're trying to be bullies. They're pepper spraying.
There's all kinds of violence.
Yeah,
so
all the violence. And
people attending there, throwing rocks at them, windshields.
Exactly. I mean, it is definitely a race war. And so, even if he did become president and he starts implement some of these policies, you're going to see a big, big backlash, you know.
Yeah.
And because they know
they're
that.
They're not going to walk away either.
No, they're not going to walk away silently.
They're not going to just walk away either. They're in a battle. And if they lose the election, they're still going to fight.
Right. And you see this hatred. I think one of the most parts where you're going to see, you see this hatred with the police, with the law enforcement.
Yeah.
You know, because white people have always been a people of law and order.
Right.
And you're going to see this hatred of the law enforcement. And they know that if Donald Trump becomes president, he's going to be, for the most part, 100% behind law enforcement. You know, he's going to be behind the border guards. And so he's going to be behind all these law enforcement, and they're not going to like it because then they're not going to be able to get away as much,
yeah.
You know, because now, you know, before then, you have Obama, who's basically Black Lives Matter. The law enforcement is an enemy. That the Border Patrol, you're not supposed to actually do your job.
You're supposed to be there and make sure they have water.
You have water and food and keep on going, you know. And so when you basically have your chief law enforcement, that's what the president is supposed to be, no longer saying, we're not going to enforce the law. They know that they've gotten away with that for 8 years.
Yeah.
And now if Trump becomes president, that is going to end. And so,
and absolutely, and if Hillary gets elected, it's going to escalate. Right. War against the police is going to escalate. But I think it's the same thing will happen if Trump gets elected,
mm-hmm.
because like you say, they are in a war. This is not just. They keep saying this is different than in the election history, and it absolutely is, because this is not just an election between political parties. This is between ideologies.
Right.
This is between an American ideology of free speech and traditional values of culture. It's a culture war.
Right.
And those who oppose this are not going to just silently say, oh, we lost and it's over with. No, they're going to continue fighting.
Right.
And that fight can become violent.
Absolutely.
And so this battle is just really getting going.
Yeah.
It doesn't end on November 8th.
No. It's going to escalate either way.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It really is going to escalate either way. And that's why we have always been one of the very few white resistance organizations that have always encouraged basically families, get out of these cities, get out of these urban areas.
And we don't mean just move 10 miles out into the suburbs. We mean get out.
Get out. Go and move to a rural area.
Yeah, not the suburbs.
Right.
Rural area.
Yeah, because the suburbs of Los Angeles still has a quarter of a million people.
Yeah.
Or 100,000 or 150. I mean, you got to get out in the rural areas.
Yeah. And we do, unfortunately, Jason, probably most people can listen to it.
Right.
Because it's hard. It's difficult.
It's very hard and it's very difficult, but a person has to realize that we live in a different time.
Yeah.
You know? And so often people say, well, it'll swing back to this, the other direction.
You can't swing back.
You can't swing back if it's non-white area.
Yeah, it can't swing back.
No.
Not in the way people think.
Right. And so, the first priority as a family is make sure your family is safe.
Yeah.
And then you got to make sure that those families are around other like-minded family members, your racially kindred people. And moving to rural areas, where you, for the most part, are going to be around like-minded people. They're going to be white. They're going to be Christians. They're going to believe in the Second Amendment. Your traditional Americana, and that's where what you want.
Right.
You got to let move into those rural areas because it is going to get worse. Regardless of what everyone says, it's not if Trump gets elected, all of a sudden everything's going to be better. You know, we're not saying he's a savior, that he's going to solve the problems. He's going to help place agendas and policies that are in favor. But ultimately, Trump believes in race mixing. He believes in homosexuality, you know. And
well, I don't know if he believes in it as much as say he seems to be willing to tolerate it.
There's
a little bit of a difference.
Right. He'll tolerate it, and he may not implement policies, but he's not going to speak out against it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, ultimately, yes, he will put policies that will open the door to allow us as the white resistance movement to continue to voice our concerns and the policies we believe America needs to be activating.
I think the whole point of what you're saying, Jason, because is even if he kind of says, okay, it's no big deal, what are we concerned with? If the power restored to local communities,
right,
local law enforcement, power of the public schools restored back to the local community, if the Department of Education is removed, there will be white people will be reclaiming those values which built America and will protect America. That in itself could have a blowback against the homosexual agenda.
Exactly.
So it can be a very positive. We don't know that it will. We haven't been to that date yet. We haven't been to an hour from now yet.
Right.
But these are things that we see can happen very positive for this racial awakening that we see taking place.
Well, so, no, even the last debate, you know, it's just as simple as abortion, you know. And we can even use the same as the decision dealing with same-sex marriage. I always get a kick out of, you know, I'm going to just loosely use the word liberals, you know, because of people like I identify with liberals. But when they'll say, the liberals will say, well, we don't need to reverse Roe v. Wade. That is a set precedent case law,
yeah,
you know, since the 70s, and we need to continue with that. Yeah. And I'm thinking, okay, since the 70s, let's use your argument, since the 70s. What about the thousands of years from since the beginning of time,
yeah, right,
that abortion was not considered legal or, yeah, lawful in America and all in Europe, yeah, and we're all our case laws. And now we're going to go say, oh, for 40 years, you know, or 50 years now, it's okay, so we can't reverse it. And so, or the homosexual, you know, we're talking about, you know, gay rights marriage, you know, that's a set precedence now. Well, no, a judge said it was, but look at all the states. All the states said, no, we don't allow homosexual marriages.
And all tradition.
And all the states did not allow abortion. Right. That's why when Donald Trump on the debates said that it should go, he wants judges that will allow the states to decide. Right. He knew what that meant. He knew, right, that meant the states will decide, and he knows the states are going to say, we don't want abortion.
Right.
You know, that's a state issue. We don't want abortion.
Yeah.
And we don't want homosexual marriages. And so, yes, I mean, you are right. He will hopefully invoke policies that are the same with us, which I believe it will. But ultimately, you know, white families need to think of themselves as cohesiveness with other white families. They need to stick together. Yeah, they're definitely
under siege. Christian family under siege.
Right.
During the debate, I thought it was interesting when both Hillary and Donald Trump was asked what kind of Supreme Court justice would they put on the bench. And Hillary Clinton never once said, I'm going to nominate people who understand and will adhere to the Constitution. The Constitution is the foundation of our country. Right. Whether people like it or don't like it, it's the foundation of the country. And so when you remove a foundation, then you're on sifting sand. Christ gives a parable about the man who built the house in sand and those who built the house on the rock. And sand is shifting and washes away, and the house collapses. The house on the rock, which we, even today, we put a house on a good, solid foundation. So the Constitution is our foundation of our country. And never once did she say, I'm going to nominate people who would administer their decision based upon the Constitution. She said, basically, she had touchy-feely stuff. People who understand, people have feelings that can understand the plight of the poor, the plight of the immigrant, plight of this, plight of blah, 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 blah.
Who are private attorneys and have had, yeah, dealt with everyday life. And
you're right. And so there was, she said, I'm going to appoint people that understand the Constitution. Where Donald Trump, that was right out of his mouth, you know, that he's going to appoint justices that understand and make decisions based on the Constitution.
Right. And the philosophy of the Constitution.
Right.
Because you can have a philosophy of the Constitution where you have what's called the living, breathing Constitution.
But, you know, they use that term and I understand it. It's a very successful,
sure,
propaganda tool, because people like the idea of a living Constitution,
right,
rather than an old, dead Constitution.
Exactly.
And that's kind of how they manage. And so when I hear conservatives say, use that phraseology, why don't you just kind of put your own spin on it and say the same thing?
Right.
You know? But that's, you're right. They call that the living Constitution.
Yeah. Living Constitution. But the reason they say the living Constitution, because then they want the judges to interpret the laws according to the times as it is right now. Yeah. And then they say, okay, we, you know, it's getting to the now that same-sex marriage is kind of more, not, let's wipe that out. Same-sex should be allowed, you know, and so, no, as a judge, you know, the Constitution kind of allows me to do whatever I want. And that's one of your political thinking. The other political thought is the judges who believe in the Constitution is, this is what the Constitution specifically says, and this is what we're going to go by. As a judge, you have the legal authority, or you're supposed to have legal authority, to continue on what the Constitution tells you to do. And the Constitution only tells you certain things you can do. That's all you can do. It's a restraint. And so basically these are certain things that the judges can handle. Everything else is for the states to decide.
Right. Somebody said, well, what if it's wrong? Well, that's not up to the judge.
Exactly.
Basically, if it's wrong, if you think it's wrong, then it's up to the legislature to pass a law.
It's up to the people.
They change the law, exactly. Not the courts. The courts don't change the law. The courts are restricted by what the Constitution says, and that's it. That's only the obligation, responsibility, and interpretation that they have. If somebody doesn't like it, then you mount up a campaign, you get the law changed, and the legislature then changes the law. But we have now, in reality, the court is telling the legislature how they have to write their laws.
Right.
I remember a few years ago, there was a case, I think it was one of the eastern states, New Hampshire, Vermont, one of those states back there, where the issue of same-sex marriage or same-sex unions or whatever came up. And the people overwhelmingly voted it down, the legislature voted it down, went to the court, the state Supreme Court, and the state Supreme Court ruled in favor of it, you know, and then actually gave a court order for the legislature, had 30 days to rewrite the law.
Yeah. It's amazing.
You know?
Right.
And they get away with it. Exactly. That's what's so amazing. They get away with it.
Exactly. Well, you know, of course, when I went through law school, and just not law school, but for the most part, if a person understands and reads the foundation of the country, the foundation and the principles of the ideas, the separation of government, the different branches of government, the executive branch and the legislation and the judicial, it's common knowledge that your judicial branch is considered the weakest. Because if you look at the Constitution, you have the Congress, the legislative branch, is what the Constitution deals with first. And then you have the executive branch, and then you have the judicial branch. And those are in orders of basically the importance. And so when you're dealing with the legislative branch, there is a slew of laws that they can act, what their responsibilities are, everything, because that's considered the most important and powerful branch is the legislative branch. And then you have your executive branch that's next, dealing with carrying out those laws, you know, and what powers and authorities.
They're not supposed to write the law.
Right.
They carry out the laws that the legislature.
And then you have the judicial branch. And the judicial branch is very small. It's very small because it's considered the weakest one, because they can't send people to do stuff. They can't enforce laws. They can't pass laws. All they can say is give their opinion, you know. But now it's been reversed, where now the judicial branch is the most powerful, because they basically, you have five people, you know, because there's nine judges in the U.S. Supreme Court, and you only need five to make the decision, ruling decision in one way or another. And so you have five people basically says, United States, race mixing is allowed. United States, homosexuality is allowed. Abortion is allowed.
Yeah. Transgender bathrooms.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So you have basically five people who's basically saying, this is the policies we're going to set forth. And instead, judge is saying, no, that is up to the people. The people have passed laws. That's what they've decided. We're not going to get into that area, you know. But unfortunately, no, as we all know, that's no longer the case. And so, yes, if Donald Trump becomes president, if he can appoint judges that will carry out those same programs, then that will help it. But yes, but it really is scary thought of saying, if Hillary does become president, she's going to be able to appoint two, possibly three, you know, judges on the Supreme Court and hundreds of federal judges all across the United States,
Right.
You know, and your appellate judges and all that. So she's going to be able to have authority of all that. And they're going to be liberal, and they're going to be very extreme liberal.
Yeah.
Because in her opinion, white people no longer are a playing factor, because she won the presidency with the non-white vote. White people are no longer a majority. White people, basically, we don't really care about you anymore. And we're going to appoint extreme liberal judges. And I guarantee you're going to have a lot of those that are going to be your Muslim religions, your non-Christian, sodomites, but all these different religions, and humanism. So that she's going to be elect or appointing, I keep on saying electing, but appointing all those judges that are going to have a hatred, really, for the Constitution.
Right, absolutely. And going back to the power of the court, I recall here back a few months ago, Bill Riley, who's pretty conservative and I like a lot of what he says, but even he, just doesn't grasp it. Because I remember Donald Trump being on TV and he's saying how he's going to deport these illegal aliens. And O'Reilly said, well, the courts will never allow you to do that. The courts won't allow you to do that. And I can't recall what Trump's answer was, basically, but the answer is the courts have no power over it.
Right.
He's the executive. He's the one that gives the order. The law says you can't be here. Here's my order. Get them deported now.
Right.
You know? And, of course, it wouldn't be that rough. People right. always look like be dragging people in the boxcars and put them, load them, ship them south. First off, most of them will self-deport.
Right.
If you take away the candy, they're going to go back home.
Exactly.
So a lot of them are going to self-deport. They say, well, breaking up families. It's not going to break up families.
Right.
How's it going to break up families? If mom and dad are going south,
take the babies with you.
Yeah. And if you don't care enough about your babies to take them, then you're a bad parent.
Exactly.
So take your babies with you and take your teenagers with you. I don't care if they're born here. Take them with you. They're under 18 years old. You have the power. They're not legally able to go out and function society out of their home. They're not a separate individual person or part of the family. They will go. So this idea of breaking up families is ludicrous. But yet, exactly. That's the compassion factor they try to reach for. Oh, it's going to break up families. Little babies going to be left behind when mommy gets deported.
Yeah.
You know, well, you know, they'll go too.
Exactly.
And the thing is that the courts have no say. They can give an opinion. That's all the courts does, give an opinion. And if the opinion, and then the legislature can sit back and look at the opinion of the court, and they may say, well, you know, I think the court probably is correct on that, so we will rewrite the law.
Right.
But it's not up to the courts to do it.
Right. Well, you know, there was decision that, you know, I wish I could remember it, but it was a decision during Andrew Jackson. I think it was a decision during Andrew Jackson. And but it was a decision from the U.S. Supreme Court during the time Andrew Jackson was president, and they made a decision, and Andrew Jackson basically said, "Well, they made their decision. Now try to enforce it."
Yeah,
you know,
but they can't.
They can't enforce it. Okay, five judges, you made a decision. You can't do anything about it.
Yeah,
I'm the chief giver as far as exacting and carrying out the law. And the Congress said this, that's what I'm going to do. And I forgot what it was, but probably anyone nowadays probably could Google it and probably find it very quickly. But yeah, the U.S. Supreme Court made their decision. Andrew Jackson basically said, well, they made their opinion. Now they can try to enforce it, you know. Yeah. And basically it's like, I don't really care what it says because I'm not doing it, you know. And so that's why the judicial branch has always been considered the weakest, because there's nothing they can do. Give your opinion, okay, great. No, that's all you can do. And so, yeah, if the judge or whatever said, well, this is what I'm going to do, and yet Donald Trump said, okay, well, great, you made that decision.
Nice.
I'm following the will of the people, what Congress said,
And
I'm going to do it. What they could do? I'm going to issue a subpoena for Donald Trump's arrest. Well, great, I'm the president. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, who's going to carry it out?
Yeah.
There's no military or law enforcement officer that's answerable to the court.
Right.
They're all answerable to the FBI, which goes right back to the Attorney General, goes right back to the executive branch.
Exactly.
So there's nobody that answers to the court.
Right.
It's a real game of smoke and mirrors.
Smoke and mirrors.
That's all it is. I mean, it's a pony show. They don't have any power.
Well, the only reason they have power is because you have presidents that are willing to follow that.
Yeah.
And if you have presidents that were not willing to follow it, caught them. The judicial branch would be worthless.
You have weak presidents,
right?
Who the courts get a decision, then the president carries out the order through the Justice Department,
right.
or what have you, and they carry out the order. But if they always tell the court, "I'm sorry, that's the nice opinion.
Yeah.
I appreciate your efforts.
Yeah, your thought in the matter.
Yeah,
you know."
But people don't seem to understand. Bill Riley didn't seem to understand that.
No.
Now maybe Donald Trump does. You know. Because he said, well, you know, we can do it.
Right.
And that's one thing he said, well, we can do it.
Right.
You know, and he can.
He can do it. And probably one of the first things he, no doubt, probably one of the first things he would do is if he became president, you know he would beef up the Border Patrol. He would beef it up quickly, you know, and he probably would be putting a lot of troops. He probably would be ordering the National Guards of those states on the borders.
Well, we hope he will anyway. Yeah. But no, he might be lying to us.
He could be selling everyone out.
Yeah, we don't know that, but right. We know what Hillary's going to do.
Right.
That's a sure deal.
Exactly.
So if you got a sure deal of betrayal or a throw of the dice,
right.
I'll take the throw of the dice.
Absolutely.
And so I kind of believe Donald because he's put a lot on the line. He has sacrificed or prepared to sacrifice his enormous wealth. Just catching to the wind.
He's willing to sacrifice more than the average person out there because the average person, they have they got a job or whatever. But, you know, Donald Trump, anyone that is worth billions of dollars, and there's nothing for Donald Trump to say, well, okay, I want to be president, but in order to be president, I'm going to be ridiculed. I'm going to have people call me racist.
Yeah, if it was just an ego trip to become president, he could have walked the line as all the
party line, and that would be it. But to be this controversial and to stand for policies and principles that most your traditional Christian white Americans believe in, that is a step further.
Yeah.
And so he has an enormous amount of the possibility of losing, just his financial worth.
And if he loses the election, I can imagine the vendetta of Hillary against him.
Oh, exactly.
If he loses this election, she's going to be after to ruin him and see him in poverty before she leaves office.
Yeah. I mean, she would try to get policy. She would try to say, well, I need the attorney general to look in the practices of Donald Trump. I need this. I need that.
He's got everything on the line.
Yeah. And so people don't understand that he had nothing to gain to even get in the run for the election.
No.
He could have made his money regardless if Hillary Clinton became president.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't matter to him. He still would have been worth billions of dollars and he would still be taken care of. But for him to step in the arena and say things and try to enact policies that if he becomes president, that is controversial to non-whites, not controversial to white people, but putting policies that is going to favor your European American people, that says a lot. And people, I don't think, give him enough credit for that.
Especially your so-called Never Trump people.
Right.
They're so disgusting. It's pathetic.
Yeah.
I don't think I can figure out the surrogates for Hillary Clinton.
Right.
That's the only thing I can say about them.
Yeah.
They don't love America. Donald Trump, I would think that one of the campaign slogans, I guess, maybe not a slogan, they should say is that I know people don't like me. I know this. I know a lot of people don't like me. That's okay. I just hope you love America more than you hate me.
Right.
You know, because that's the bottom line.
Exactly.
You don't have to love Donald Trump.
Right.
But you have to love America.
Yeah. I mean, it really is what policies, what agendas do you want? You know? And Donald Trump, you know what policies, for the most part, he's in favor of. You definitely know what policies Hillary Clinton is in favor of. So which one are you going to vote for? I mean, and to say, well, I'm not going to vote, is basically says I want Hillary Clinton to become president.
Well, I was even thinking about that the other day, Jason, because there are element of people who say, well, they don't believe in voting.
Right.
Because Donald Trump, they say, is this or is that. But everybody votes.
Right.
You either vote for Trump, you vote for Hillary, or by not voting, you're voting to keep the things as they are.
Right.
And I know one person said, well, Donald Trump supports the LGBT community. So if you vote for Trump, you're voting for the LGBT community, which is ridiculous to say that.
Exactly.
But if you don't vote, then you're voting to continue the policies that we already have.
Right.
So this idea, nobody can say I'm not part of the system.
Right.
You're part of the system one way or another.
Yeah, you like it or not.
Yeah, whether you like it or not, you're part of, and maybe the system the wrong word, but you're part of this political atmosphere we're in, environment. You're part of this environment of today, this 20th century, 21st century, 2016 environment. You're a part of it, and you're going to participate in some way.
Well, but everyone has a responsibility. It could be the wrong responsibility or it could be a right responsibility. You could be a liberal and say it's my responsibility to get my agenda carried forward.
Yeah.
You could be a conservative and say it's my responsibility. if you're a person that don't believe in voting or says, well, I'm not going to vote for Trump because of the fact that he believes in some of these things, well, then you still have a responsibility to try to change that. And like you said, if you don't vote, that your responsibility is saying, okay, I want to accept what we have. I'm in favor of it.
Yeah.
And for you to get back and say, well, I'm not going to participate, you're fooling yourself because you are participating.
Yeah.
Everyone participates.
Right. What I find amazing, we only got a few minutes, yeah. These people say they're undecided.
Right.
I can understand the liberals being for Hillary with certain, even though we find them disgusting, still certain values, core values they have that Hillary Clinton promotes, or people voting for Donald Trump because of core values. But these people say they're undecided. Do they not have any core values at all? Do they just, are they going to vote by who can smile nicest on TV?
Right.
You know, who's the most pleasant person, you know, who kissed their baby? I mean, really, is there no core values that allows you to decide who you're for?
Yeah.
And that's what I find. Man, I haven't decided. Really?
Well, I really found it funny because after the last debate, I believe it was on NBC or is on MSNBC, and they had like 30 supposedly undecided voters, you know. And you had, it wasn't Chuck Todd, it was this other guy. But you could tell that he even was getting frustrated because they were talking about, well, what about the debate? You know, some person said, well, they didn't really like how Donald Trump was talking. And someone else said, well, he kind of liked Donald Trump. And then someone was talking about Hillary. And then the guy goes, well, so, you know, and of course, he was talking really fast. He goes, so after this debate, have you guys made up your mind? You know, which of you guys really have not made up your mind? And like half of them like raise their hands like they haven't decided yet. He goes, really? Yeah, he said, after all this issues and the debates and ads, he said, you're still not decided? It was almost like he was making fun of, like, you don't even believe in anything?
If you're a liberal,
if you're liberal or conservative or whatever, you don't believe in anything? I mean, what are you telling me you haven't decided? Even he was getting frustrated.
I just laugh about that. What do you mean you're undecided, you know? I can't decide whether you want vanilla ice cream or chocolate ice cream. You like them both. But the core values is so vastly different that I think these people that are undecided, I think they got this illusion that they're above the fray and they're intellectuals and they're really studying the issues. No, they're not. They're looking who has a better smile on TV, who doesn't act rude or whatever the case. They're going by strictly.
Be more presidential.
Yeah. Instead of the core values. They're really exposed as being really fools.
They really are, yeah. So. And if you have a person like that who's not, who's still undecided, then I don't know I would be, I guess I would be more leery with them on voting for somebody because then they're voting for someone that's going to be wanting to be like them who's undecided on everything.
Yeah. Do your duty to vote. Listen, if you don't know the issues, do your duty and don't vote.
Right.
You know, don't vote. I mean, better off not voting, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, if you're that stupid, you know. But if you are that stupid, you're going to vote anyway. Vote for Trump.
Yeah, vote for Trump. You know, I mean, because it really is. It's a race war. I mean, it comes right down to, like we always say, it comes back down to race. The white people are basically voting for Donald Trump. The non-whites are going to vote for Hillary Clinton. Yes, there's a percentage that of your white people that will vote for Hillary Clinton, but the vast majority of white people are voting for Donald Trump because he's aligned to them with the major issues, you know, traditional America.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton is not. And so if you're not voting, basically you're saying you're one of the same agenda, you're in tune, and believe in the same causes of the non-white vote. Yeah. I mean, that's what it's really coming down to.
Jason, if you and your family is kidnapped by some home invasion.
Yeah.
And they are held captive by gunpoint.
Yeah.
Who do you want to come to rescue you, Hillary Clinton or Clint Eastwood?
Exactly. Well, Clint Eastwood.
You want Clint Eastwood, right? Well, and you don't care if he cusses and swears at those invaders at all, do you?
Right. Absolutely. And as someone to bring your home, you as a person has a duty, you know, to stand up and take action.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're not taking action, you're just sitting there and being a pacifist and don't believe in doing anything, then you're basically saying that I believe that our country should continue to be corroded away and have illegals coming in, abortion coming in,
yeah.
Or the homosexual agenda, or foreign policies. I believe in all of that. because you're not taking a stand for something different, you know. And you know Donald Trump, at least he's saying those same things, you know. And so, yes, they're not, he's not perfect, but if he's going to put policies in place that will help our people more, then that's what we want.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we're out of time.
Okay.
So it's been great. And having the kids here for the first half hour was fantastic.
Yep, enjoy that.
Caleb had a lot to say.
Absolutely. Well, we enjoy, we encourage people, other family members, if you have children, make sure they're sitting down and listen to this.
Yeah.
Kind of like the old time, you know, in the 40s and 50s where the families got around the radio and listened to the shows and stuff. Now, really what needs to happen, you know, with shows like this, gather your families, gather your children around and listen to these shows. I mean, you need to continually be teaching them day and night of these issues.
Yeah, they're important. Don't make it a burden. We only have them here for half an hour.
Yeah.
Don't make it a burden like they're dreaded. Make it a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
You know, have them sit down a few minutes, listen to these shows on White Pride Radio. And
they don't have to sit there for the whole show. It'd be for a few minutes.
Just a few minutes and let them see what them understand. Because I know of people who, moms or dads, who get on the computer, go and look up websites about what's happening in the country, and they're up in their bedroom looking, and then come back downstairs, and they don't involve the family at all.
Right.
Got to involve the family.
Or the kids come in, they say, hey, I'm doing something. Get away.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? We always do, and we're going to close with this, but when you send your contribution to the national office to help keep the program in the air, you really need to do that. You really need to do that. We're not financed by George Soros. We're financed by people like you. We want to do more. There's a whole lot more we could do. This is really a simple outreach. There's a whole much more, so much more we can do. But when you send your, write out that check and you send your contribution in, get your kids around, that, you know, when they're little, I'm some teenager not going to maybe respond the same way, but when they're little, help, let them see what you're doing. Let them put the check in the envelope. Let them put a stamp on the envelope. Let them mail the envelope. Let them become a part of it and envelop them into this wonderful cause, the White Christian Revival. So take care of that right away. As soon as this broadcast goes off, mail the contribution to Post Office Box 2222, Harrison, Arkansas, 72601. That's P.O. Box 2222, Harrison, Arkansas, 72601. Or you can just go back to the homepage and click the Donate button and use your credit card. But we need your help. And the battle is not over yet. It continues on. And there's a multitude of people who need this wonderful message of White Christian Revival. So, and we hope you'll help us take that to them. So if that's all, then I guess we'll close it up. This is Thomas Robb.
And Jason Robb.
And we're reminding you to love your God and to love your people.